हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so page 29. There's that too. Yeah. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Surrender under the Supreme Form is the result of bhakti. This bhakti, or understanding one's own position, is the complete liberation. As long as one is under an impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth, he is not in pure knowledge, but must still struggle for pure knowledge. Klesho dikaras, klesho dikaratas tesham avyakta shakta chetasam. Bhagavad Gita 12.5. Although one may be spiritually advanced if one is attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one must still work very hard, as indicated by the words klesho dikarataha, which means greater suffering. A devotee, however, easily attains his original position as a spiritual form and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form. So, coming to this transcendental platform means giving up the material consciousness and coming to this platform where one does not have a material form, right? So one takes up the spiritual form, because it goes by consciousness, right? If consciousness is spiritual, then the form is spiritual. Conscious and material form is material. So nirakar means no material form. So whenever we use the negative, we're always talking about it lacks the negative. So nirakar means it doesn't have the negative, which is a material form. Right? Does that make sense? Because the Lord is all the positive qualities. Right? But when they come through into the material world, then they take on the negative, because that's the way the place is designed. It's designed to house all the negative aspects so that we become interested in what's the positive, right? Because the negative bothers us because it's not the positive. Right? Eternity doesn't bother us. Temporary does. You understand? So therefore, if one maintains this impersonal understanding, then there's always going to be a difficulty, because it's still mundane. Because it's just getting rid of the material. So that's still a material concept. Right? Because in the spiritual, there is no material. It's inherent. You don't have to get rid of the spirit material. It just doesn't exist. So the idea of liberation on its own is still a material concept. Liberation is not material. But the point is the concept that liberation on its own without Krishna consciousness is an actual obtainable item, that's material. Right? So giving that up, then one can very easily take up Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, then what happens is it won't happen very well. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? That makes sense, as you said, you have a question.
Maharaj, my question was regarding what is the difference in qualification one needs to have to attain Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan?
It's a difference in flavor. Means the spiritual world, everybody there all has one understanding of the absolute truth. So there's no difference in understanding. We all understand that they're the servant of the Lord, He's supreme, their happiness comes from the Lord, so by serving the Lord, that's being their duty, then that's how then all happiness will be gained. So there's not going to be any other philosophy than that. But it's a matter of taste, because there's two, you could say, major aspects of taste. One is that of majesty, about the greatness of God, and the other is sweetness, about how that pleasantness or niceness of Him. Right? It's not that in majesties there's not a concept of sweetness, but majesty overpowers the sweetness. So it's the main is the majesty. So Vaikuntha is where majesty is the most prominent. Right? Then Dwarka will be prominent, you'll be like half-half. In Mathura there'll be a little bit more sweetness, but still it has the aspect of majesty. But in Braj, then it's only sweetness, no majesty. So it's a matter of taste.
Actually, I don't remember from whom, but somebody told that attaining Vaikuntha is a lot more easier than attaining Goloka Vrindavan. And if I think of...
Yeah, it's like it's probably easier to get into Yale than into Harvard. Or Cambridge instead of Oxford. You know, if that answers your question, then...
So what exactly, suppose I was thinking of some verses like Bhagavad Gita 10:10 and then the 8th verse of Shikshashtakam. There are some things that bring me to some thought, what exactly is I need to do. I mean,
it's a matter of we're not interested in Vaikuntha, so it's not even part of the question.
Like, actually, I do feel some inclination to it, and because it said that...
Means one can go there, it's worshipping the Lord, it's all that, it just won't have the intensity of taste that you'll get in Goloka.
No, but it said that one has a specific position that's already there.
Then don't worry about it. Why worry about it?
Those who are all in the Gaudiya Parampara, they all end up in Goloka Vrindavan if they perfect themselves.
The point is if you want to get anywhere else, it'll go quicker by being in the Gaudiya line. You want to get to Vaikuntha, you'll get there quicker through the Gaudiya line than you will through the Shris or Madhvas. Shris you can get there in one lifetime. Madhvas, it'll take you 14 to get there. So, you know. And for us, then we're also talking one lifetime, but the process is more direct. So even if you want to go to Vaikuntha, it's more quick to do it from here. Okay. Anywhere else?
Just on this point, Prabhupada would always often make this statement that many of his disciples were actually aiming for the heavenly planets, even though...
Oh, that's another thing, but that's not their ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. I think it was the statement where he said, I think it was about Brahmacharis. Who was it?
Someone asked him that we all the disciples were to the
heavenly planets, yeah. I think it was also a thing with the Brahmacharis. I think they're already 50% liberated. And I think about Grihasthas, it was talking about one quarter, you know, is because of just, it's just a matter of priorities. So if Krishna consciousness is more prominent, then whatever the position, it doesn't matter. Then one will go back to Godhead. But if one maintains material desire, and that takes more of a prominence than the devotional endeavor, then one will go to the heavenly planets. Right? So basically, you could say in general, the neophytes, if they don't think of Krishna, but think of their material attachments and all that, they will tend to go to the heavenly planets. The Madhyamas, if they don't quite make it, they'll take birth in the family of devotees. Does that make sense? Like that. And if you think of Krishna, you go back to the spiritual world. So it doesn't matter. You can be in any position and remember Krishna and go. Because the point is you still need training there, so they'll train you some more. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have the conditioning, so there is no... You're on the Uttama platform. You may be at the very beginning of the Uttama platform rather than a little bit along if you've been more advanced. But the point is you will get everything learned there. So it's not a problem. But heavenly planets means if someone's distracted by, you know, their fame, their beauty, their wealth, their power, their all these different things, then that's what it's all about in heavenly planets. Right? Indra, what does he get distracted by? His wealth, his influence, his beauty, like that. So that's the whole, you know, the Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva, you know, same thing. So that's, one has to be careful about that. So, but if Krishna is the center, then there's not a problem. But whatever one's distracted by, that will be what you will go for. Does that make sense? So, and then when that's over, then you'll come back here. Like that. That's then born into the family of, you know, religious, aristocratic, you know, ritualistic, those kind of families. Because then they have a tendency to be interested in something more subtle. So then taking up Krishna consciousness would be a natural thing for them. And that's why people are in those positions. We'll think, oh, this rich guy, he's rich because of this. No, he's rich because he's done some devotional service. But not enough that he's interested in more than that. Does that make sense? So they're there, you know, and then if there are some interests, it'll be cultivated and then develop. Does that make sense? So at some point, they'll take it up. Is that okay? Yes.
Regarding his question about being easier to get into Vaikuntha, would it be accurate to say that since Lord Chaitanya appears only once in a day of Brahma, that it's somewhat of a limited time offer in the sense that this knowledge of Braj is only given by our specific Gaudiya Parampara, yeah, and generally the Yuga avatar is opening the door to Vaikuntha?
Yes, but yes. Yes, you could say in that way it is. And since it is... If you can perform the activities of sadhana connected with Krishna, who's the original, then to attain from him the blessings of serving him in a Vaikuntha form, that will be much easier. Because then you're worshipping, he's God, he's the Supreme. And so the reciprocation is based on that also. But in Braj, then he's actually giving himself. Like that, because the other is he's God, you're worshiping him, he's reciprocating. So it's not so much that complete giving of himself. It's not that it's not wonderful and not doesn't have that sweetness, like that prayer, I'm not sure who it's by, Madhuram, Madhuram. You know, that one, that's a Vaikuntha prayer. So it means it's you know, it's nice. But the lokas has more of that sweetness. So if you like the sweetness, there's more there. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah, so definitely it would be, yeah, more rare. Because it says never been given before, because the other 999, this was not given. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah.
But if everyone is encouraged for Goloka Vrindavan to have as an aspiration, but one's position is not that, so he is trying to have the mood of Asvishyava Pagratam and more, not just any service but a particular service and anything for Krishna, that kind of mood. So that's, I think, a bit tougher. And then
it's tougher, but the point is it's more worth it. Okay, you can go down to the gumball machine, put in your, how much is a gumball machine these days? A quarter now. Quarter now. It used to be a penny, right? Okay, a quarter. And you can get yourself a nice plastic ring, you know, and it's like that. And so as long as, you know, you have the, you know, proper, what do you call it, you know, would it be the guys that manage the whole thing? You know, that then, okay, you can give that and everything will work. Otherwise, you can work a little harder, more than a quarter, and get yourself a diamond ring. Producers, that's it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just what you want.
That's okay, Maharaj. But if one is aspiring for, say, Goloka Vrindavan, but his position is, say...
But don't worry about it.
So
why worry about it?
In the sense, he comes to know later that what he was aspiring for, he is not that actually, but he is someone...
No, but the point is, why worry about that?
No, but it's encouraged in the parampara, and it's, if ultimately it's not the case...
Okay, let's say like this. You understand IAS officer? Okay? Okay. Now, one applies for the IAS position, right? Now, from that, you could end up in very big, big positions. But you could also end up as just a little guy in a corner somewhere. Right? But the point is going for the IAS, that corner is easy. So why worry about it? You'll end up with a desk and a chair. You don't have to worry. There'll be a stack of papers on top. That you don't have to worry about. You know what I'm saying? So being with Krishna, serving Krishna, that was going to be there. Now where that is, that's another thing. But that will be revealed with time. Now you won't know. Does that make sense? So, therefore, don't worry about it. Right? Murari Gupta, he was a Vaikuntha man. But he's one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, so what's the problem? Narad Muni is a Vaikuntha man. But he loves to hang out in the Sankirtan mission. In fact, he's, Srivasa Thakur. So, what's the problem? You're making it out like there's a big problem. Right? You know.
Hanging around and being part of the exhibition is, I guess, good, but attaining that for a practitioner and a beginner.
Yeah, but that's later. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know, hanging out with the quantum physics wallahs and then worrying if you're going to pass your sixth grade arithmetic test. You know, or hanging out with the guys that do the language for the computers and all that, and worried that, you know, will you know which button to push to make, you know, Word Excel work. Are we getting anywhere here? You understand? The point is if you're working for something that's higher, something that's not as on that platform is easier, isn't it? So if you find after some time that you actually are more attracted to another realm, what's the problem? This process will get you there easier than using the processes that people use to directly go there. Does that make sense? You know, you go to school, you hear from the teacher, you read your books. Right? And then you have your friends, they have tutors. Now you're worried that, well, if I also follow their tutors, then it will create a problem for me actually doing well at my school. You understand the logic here? Yes, that's the point. Bingo. So it makes it easier. What's the problem? So you don't have to worry.
I was worried about having the higher aspiration.
The point is you means it means Prabhupada says shoot the rhinoceros. You know, you go out there to do something serious, and if you end up with a frog or a sparrow, then hey, you know, you got something. Thank you.
Funny enough, the actual calculation should be, even if we're coming from this platform about archers, we should understand that we should pick the process that gives us the most amount of options.
That's fair. Yeah.
So you don't lose.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, you can choose a process that can only give you Vaikuntha, or you can choose a process that can give you anywhere in the spiritual world. So therefore, if you choose that one, then naturally everything else comes with it. Because it's Krishna who's in Vaikuntha. He's just there as God, rather than the son or mother just showed up. It's the same person. It's just a difference in flavor, that's all.
Someone actually told me that Krishna is very naughty, so I was not that attracted to that feature of Krishna.
That's right. He said Krishna is very naughty.
Unlimitedly naughty.
Huh?
He told he's the unlimitedly naughty one.
So then why Vaikuntha? Why not Ayodhya? He's there, there's Maryada. Maryada means he follows the rules. Maryada means rules.
I didn't go to particular ones, but I think there are many planets, other planets.
Yeah, so don't worry about it. But the point is now let us say Krishna is naughty. Okay? And so now let's just take an example. You have a mom, she's here, right? In the material world. And she has a son, right? And he's naughty, right? Is it a problem? Every mom would rather have this son absolutely boring, does everything exactly as you say, when he says, how you says, nothing out of the ordinary, just exactly like that. That's the perfection that every mom dreams for, right? You know, so then the two moms get together, you know, at the end of the day after the kid's gone to sleep. So, how'd your day go? Yeah, the same as yesterday. You know, and yours? Yeah, you know, nothing ordinary. Yeah, isn't it so fabulous, you know, and everything's just so irregular and boring and everything like that. Yeah, this is always what I dreamed since I was a little girl. Right? That's how the ladies sit around and talk about it, you know. You know, and then if someone says, oh yeah, my child is so naughty, oh no, that's so terrible. I don't know if I can be your friend anymore. You know, right? That's how the conversation goes, right? So in other words, when it comes to rasa, naughty is good. You understand? Now, here's the secret, maybe you don't know. That's why when people have parties, they don't invite nerds. You understand? Because they don't do anything naughty. It's like, oh, can I drink this? Oh, I might get gas from this. And I don't know. It's like that. What about that? Oh, no. You know, I got, you know. So no one invites them. Because they never do anything naughty. So who's at the party? Everyone who's naughty. So that means Goloka is just one big party. Does that make sense? And another thing, why is naughty a problem? Because it's against the rules. Who makes the rules? Krishna. So if Krishna breaks the rules, then it's fun. Because everybody else is involved. It's not he's breaking the rules and everybody else is standing around and I was worried about it. But if you want to know for yourself firsthand, why take anybody else's way? You get yourself a Krishna book. You know Krishna book?
I have, but never felt inspired to read
those. Yeah, books. So just get some inspiration. start reading. Then you'll find out what is this naughtiness. Right? And you'll find it's quite good naughtiness. Okay, is this going to work? Or?
Okay.
We haven't, like your whole world hasn't imploded and now and you're going to...
And try out.
Okay, so we'll see you back at the class again or...
No, I like to hear because you are telling in philosophical way.
Oh, okay. Nothing. Okay. Okay. An intelligent person therefore must free himself from the influence of the three modes of material nature and revive his original spiritual body by engaging in the service of the Supreme Person, Krishna. As long as one is materially attached, one must accept the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. One is therefore advised that an intelligent person, instead of being entangled in so-called good and bad fruit of activities, should engage his life in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So that instead of accepting another material body, Chaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, he will return home back to Godhead. So we're covered by the modes. The modes govern then what was done. So then higher modes you do good work, lower modes you do bad work. But either of them will keep you in the material world. So one has to give up this concept that being good is proper and being bad is not good. One has to point, one is God conscious, that's good. Not being God conscious, even if that's very pious, that's bad. One has to adjust the actual definition of what is piety. Because as long as one is attached to material piety, one will stay here where material piety happens. Right? And if you are attached to spiritual piety, means connected to Krishna, then one will go to the spiritual realm. So that's the real point. Does that make sense? Vasudev continued, therefore, since envious, impious activities cause a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Considering one's welfare, one should not envy anyone, for an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next. Verse 44, Srila Prabhupada comments, instead of being inimical towards other living entities, one should act piously by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, thus avoiding a fearful situation both in this life and in the next. In this regard, the following moral instruction by the great politician Chanakya Pandit is very meaningful. Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam Kuru Punyam Aho Ratram Smara Nityam Anityatam. One should give up the company of devils, demons, and non-devotees, and should always associate with devotees and saintly persons. One should always act piously, thinking that this life is temporary, and not be attached to temporary happiness and distress. The Krishna conscious movement is teaching all of human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious, and thus solving the problems of life forever. Right? So this principle here is then very important, because we see is that the use of what's recommended in scripture, right, the pious activity, the proper activity, then that is what's recommended, because that then will maintain oneself properly and one will have facility. But if that's not connected to the Lord, that's mundane. Now, if we're engaged in devotional service, then, as an individual, we have to maintain ourselves. How do we maintain ourselves? According to what is our particular needs, right? And according to those needs, then that situation in the social environment. So the same pious activities are performed because that gets facility. Something else doesn't get facility, right? So then the difference is. Therefore, in this case, varnashram, is it mundane or is it spiritual? It just depends upon how you're using it. Right? In generic, just that the rules are there and that's secondary. So then we can say it's mundane. Right? So we can talk about the social environment, the occupational thing. This is material. Because it's only considering the secondary. Right? Like potatoes. I had a pile of potatoes. So, are they spiritual or are they mundane? You understand? They're potatoes. So we would say they're mundane. But this is bhoga, I'm going to cook it for Krishna. Now it's spiritual. So in other words, varnashram is material by definition if you're only explaining the technique of varnashram. But if you're explaining it in connection with how it will help in your service to Krishna, then it's spiritual. Right? So here is Chanakya Pandit's given this niti. And on its own, we consider it, you know, political. It'd be material. But used for Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. Therefore, all these good aspects in Dharma, Artha, and Niti that are given by the Shastra, used properly for Krishna as recommended, they all become spiritual. That's why you'll see as they'll talk about these material things, talk about how to use them in Krishna's service, then having said all that, then say, those things are material. And then one gets confused. Means they're material if they're not connected to Krishna. So therefore, for the devotee, his process is different. It doesn't mean it looks different. It's different because why is he considering it? Right? The materialist is considering, I will do this occupation, that will give me this kind of money, with that I can buy this facility, that will make me happy. So it's material. While the devotee is thinking, oh, I have this nature, that can do this activity, that can get facility, that therefore I can engage in Krishna's service. So you can say it's a different system. But externally it looks exactly the same. Now, certain little details and all that you may not get so much into. Like that, you know, all the different social things that you could do you may not bother with. You'll have, you know, kirtan at your house or someone else's house. Like that. Does that make sense? But the point is it's a matter of, so therefore which parts aren't useful in Krishna consciousness, that is given up. But let's say the materialist, he's in Calcutta, they're from a, you know, aristocratic family, every year they have Kali Puja. So now for this person, having Kali Puja is better than not having Kali Puja. Why? Because they at least accept that there's some higher authority. In that, then they have to have a guru, they have to act according to Shastra, they're going to perform rituals by the recommended process, they're going to be fasting, they're going to be regulating their lives. So what's not good? Right? All that's useful. But the problem is from all that regulation and effort, all they're going to get from it is maybe some little blessings from Kali, which is going to be temporary and which therefore is going to be lost. While the devotee will make the same endeavor to worship Krishna. So therefore on Janmashtami he'll have a big program and that, people come, he'll have the stupid prasad, so then he'll get spiritual benefit. But he may not be having Kali Puja. You can say, no, but that helps regulate, but it's not necessary. It's already included in the regulations for worshipping Krishna. So from that angle, it looks like, oh, it's very different. But technically, in principle, no, they're the same. As far as the secondary principles go. Right? But the primary point, that is for pleasing Krishna rather than for pleasing the senses, that's the main difference. You understand? That's why it looks like it's different. Oh, it's such a change. No, it's not. The culture person already has a guru. He follows Shastra. He has a regulated lifestyle. But all it is now you're doing that in connection with Krishna. So then you'll get Krishna rather than something temporary. Does that make sense? So that's why the Chanakya Shloka here, it has its application, but the point is it's for elevation and devotional service. Like that. That's how it's used. Yes.
Maharaj, even for maintaining the piety, because as we know that Lord Vishnu is the maintainer, so we require bhakti.
Yes.
Even for the mundane person,
yeah.
We can serve.
Yeah, no, there has to be. If you want to do the Kali Puja, who do you have to worship first? If you're doing a proper Kali Puja, you have to worship the Shaligram first. And you're going to do that with some devotion or not? Right? Yeah. So that means in that whole Kali Puja, there was some devotion to Vishnu. That's why the whole thing works.
Because material consciousness as such is always deteriorating.
Yes.
That's why it's good.
Yeah. So that's why there's some elevation, because they're following Shastra, which is given by Krishna. Right? And they're following, and in worshipping any of the demigods, you have to worship Vishnu first. So if they're just worshipping Kali straight without Vishnu, then what benefit they'll get? It means there's some regulation, this and that, but that's based on Shastra. So they get some piety from that. But whether that will maintain anything, how long that will maintain, You know, it's like how you say, you're over in America, right? And so, yeah, the grandparents, they still speak Bengali. Like that. The kids, they know some Bengali, but it's not very fluent. Their kids, they don't know, you can't even understand what they're saying. Right? So it's just, you know, it's just, it's gone. So therefore, unless there's something that's cultivating it, then basically on a good day, three generations. It means in the third it will be lost. It doesn't mean it lasts through the third, it's lost in the third. Does that make sense?
Okay. There are many smart Brahmanas in South. They worship Lord Shiva, but they have Shaligram Shila.
Yeah.
They offer the Bhoga to Shiva.
Yeah, no, you have to. That's just, if you're doing it properly according to script, that's how you have to do. Mm-hmm. That's why they're worshipping Vishnu, they're not Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. So that's why they'll be considered Upasampradaya. They're following the rules that we would follow, but they're not for pleasing Vishnu. So they have a material concept of Vishnu. Or they're distracted by karma and gyan. So if they're worshipping Shiva, then there's a good chance they want liberation or they want some material facility like that. So then, even if they have that theistic aspect, but they're distracted by these lower aspects. And there's a good chance that, especially if they're from the Shankara line, then it's actually a mundane concept of Krishna. So the theistic, but it's actually a materialistic concept. Does that make sense? And then what we said before is that if they are theistic and properly situated, but then they end up in the heavenly planets because they haven't gotten over the obstacles of being attracted by the mundane. You understand? So that's why then, by that good association, you know, by hearing, by associating, then we understand the pure devotional service, and then we start to analyze our own life. Is it, you know, about pure devotional service, or, you know, what's distracting us? So if on our consciousness is pure devotional service, even if there are things that are distracting, but we're not really conscious of them, you know what I'm saying? It's still one's going to progress. Because it's where your consciousness is. But that's why you always have to keep the association and keep it fresh and developing. Because then these side things you won't be so worried about. But if you don't keep developing, then what will happen is you'll develop that nicely. When you develop that nicely, now what do you look at? Because if you're not looking towards developing more Krishna consciousness, your consciousness will go back to the previous consciousness. And then how to develop that. So then that's where the danger is of getting distracted. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like when you see someone who's brand new to Krishna consciousness. Now, technically, their lifestyle hasn't changed one bit. You know? You know, so they'll be down there, let's say, with their friends, and meeting them after school, or, you know, or on the weekend, and they're down there at McDonald's or Domino's, and they're ordering whatever nonsense they're eating. But then he's talking, wow, I met these devotees, it's really far out, and this and that. So his consciousness, he's just Krishna conscious. So it's progressive. That's why, even though he's doing all this nonsense, still, when he comes to the temple, he hears and he progresses. Then at one point he figures out, hey, you're not supposed to go to McDonald's. You know? You know, and then he makes adjustments. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean now he goes to Burger King or something. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, same thing I have seen. This Martha have come to devotional service, but they have still, in the altar, they have Lord Shiva and Parvati photo.
Yeah.
But they are sponsoring for deity.
Yeah, so if they just keep associating with devotees, after a while, then you'll see is that if by tradition we've always, then they'll just see them as devotees.
Yeah.
Or at some point, then they'll put them away. Or give them to another family member if they're a family, you know, like they've been worshipped for generations, they'll give them to one of their brothers or something. You know what I'm saying? Just you'll see with time it'll adjust. But if not, then if it's slower, then they'll continue next life. You know, like that. So the whole idea is that the process is there, it's dynamic. We take advantage of it, it's quick. The more we take advantage, the quicker it is. The less we take advantage, the slower it is. So that's why the emphasis is on the quicker of devotional service, but it doesn't mean we don't follow the rules and regulations and follow all the social and economic aspects. But we only follow them in as much as they support devotional service. But if we get distracted by them, it'll slow down the process, therefore then it'll take longer. And if we don't use them, how will we maintain ourselves? Right? So then how you'll do your service? Right? You know, unless you can be like the Python sadhu, then don't worry about it, you know. Like that. So, did something there?
Yeah, I was just thinking that this situation is obviously an extreme example of this idea of self-preservation. So, for instance, just thinking about self-preservation. So, we see that subtly or grossly, that's always there in the back of our mind, this idea of self-preservation, preserving this idea of the self, a little bit like that. How do you know that shifting of is actually being removed? And it's not just a question of wait till the actual situation comes and then we actually see.
No, but it's a matter of what is the values? What is the. So you may still have material elements there of karma and jnana, but how prominent are they as compared to before? You know, to what scale? To what. You know, it's like I say the vyavasayatmika buddhi, one pointed. And then for the other is the, what's it? Bahushaka. Means many branched, right? So how many branches are there? Before there were hundreds or thousands. Now, you know, if there's two or three, that means it's good. It's reducing. It's easier to get from two or three to one than from 1,000 to 1, you know. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, that's why it said the process is gradual. But the more you take advantage of the process, then the quicker you see it goes. Whatever opportunities you can take advantage of, do that. Because if you're lazy, nothing gets done. See, the problem with lazy is akarma. It means nothing happens. So nothing good happens, nothing bad happens. But at the same time, because nothing good happens, then technically you were supposed to technically do good. You didn't do good, so that means it technically is given a bad result. Because now you have a taste for doing nothing. So at one point you're going to do so much nothing that you don't even do anything that you're supposed to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. That means that one group, I think, had a song, Monday nothing, Tuesday nothing, Wednesday more nothing, like this. You know that one? You don't hear about it anymore. Nothing happens. <so. laughs> They just fell by the wayside. Yeah.
I'd like to add to...
You would like to add, yes.
Some days back you told about body is going to be annihilated anyway, it's temporary and all. So before I used to be like cry baby, like if there is some pain I will pray to Lord, I want liberation and if nothing else but liberation.
But then you lose the body anyway.
So I was inspired to think like that and think in terms of more of pleasing Krishna, so that self-preservation and the change in identity, Krishna servant. So it was...
It's good. Okay, yeah. See? If you take it, then it works. So whatever's mentioned here, it's always viable. You use it, whenever you use it, it will work. Sometimes people will say, oh, that's archaic, it won't work anymore, people don't do that anymore. Just rephrase that and says, I don't do that, my friends don't do that, and so therefore, because we're the center of the cosmos, therefore it can't work. But anyone takes it and uses it, it always works. Because Krishna is eternal, the laws of nature are eternal, therefore it always works. So like that, you take it, you use it immediately. Okay, very good. The Krishna conscious movement is teaching all of human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious and thus solving the problems of life forever. Because like, problems are there and we have to get rid of those problems, but the only way to actually get rid of the problems is solving them permanently. And so only being Krishna conscious, coming to that liberated platform in Krishna consciousness, that will solve the problems. Anything else will be temporary. You know, some are longer temporary, some are shorter temporary, but temporary it will be. Vasudev concluded, as your younger sister, this poor girl Devaki is like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. You are merciful, and therefore you should not kill her. Indeed, she deserves your affection. Right? So, again, means the elder brother represents the father. Right? The elder sister represents the mother, just like the younger brother and sister represent the son and daughter. So then, from that standpoint, he sees, he's using all the different kinds. He uses the social, he goes into the philosophical, he uses logical, he uses dharmic, that, and then again he comes back to this, you know, the relationship and everything like that. So, in any case, you know, it works. You know, so in other words, the main, he tried the, how you say, the bread didn't work, so he put some stuff in between, and then now that the stuff's in between, he put another piece of bread on top. Now, let's see if he buys it. Yeah.
Could you say that? So this presentation shows actually how he's perfectly detached, because in none of the argumentation did he put across his loss.
No, because that's the whole point, is that he's a grihastha, it's his duty to take care of the wife, and so that, and then in this case is that connected to him will be Krishna as a child, and with his wife then they'll be, so therefore then, you know. So, yeah, so because if you're attached, you can't get a benefit. You can only get a benefit while you're acting in detachment. As soon as you apply attachment, the process is over, so no more result can be gained. I'm thinking if I go on, if I act with the attachment, then I'll get more, but you don't. It's in not acting in attachment. That's where you'll get something. And as long as you function in that, it'll continue to give results. You know, it's just like, let's say you're making money. And if you're just focusing on making money, you make more money. But as soon as you become attached to that money, that's when the money starts disappearing. Right? Because you're, you know what I'm saying? So then you can't make money off of it anymore. So that's just the way it works. You know, or you're cooking and you get attached, then you sit down and start eating, right? You know, so then, you know, the guy comes running back into the kitchen with his bowl, you know, heck, hey, where's the chips? And then he sees you over in the corner eating the chips. Right? You know, so there's no more chips. Why? Because you got attached. Does that make sense? You know, my chicken.
It seems here it's a bit more subtle, because his attachment is not in Abhideya, but in Prayojana, actually.
Yes.
It's not that he's completely unattached.
No, that's there. But at the same time, is there is the aspect of service to Krishna, as pointed out. But then on that level, it'll come out that difference between Vasudeva and Devaki's attachment for the Lord as a son and Nanda and Yashoda. Because they wanted a son to be able to interact with God as a son. So there is some attachment from the parental rasa aspect. So there is the attachment to serve Krishna, but it's also their own taste that they'll gain from it. That's why you see there in Dwarka, where there is that aspect of majesty and about their greatness for themselves. But then for Nanda and Yashoda, for them it was that they wanted to be parents so that their childhood pastimes, that by their sweetness and wonderfulness, then so many people could become attracted and become devotees. So then that's in a completely different. So that's the purest state of parental rasa. So then there's nothing for themselves. It's just to please Krishna. Well, here it's part half-half. So that's Dwarka. It's got that half-half. Like the queens. They're pleasing Krishna, but they're also pleased. Right? Means in Mathura, it's they're pleasing Krishna because they get pleased. But the gopis, then, it's only about pleasing Krishna. That's why we're saying that aspect of Nirakar is the most complete in them, and that they don't even know what form or their name or anything. They just are absorbed in that ocean of serving Krishna, that they're just doing their service. So they don't even recognize even those aspects. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it is subtle at that point. You know, and that these would be. But at this point, we would focus on his. you know, effort to do the right thing at the situation. Being a king, that's what they do, because he's still functioning in that capacity. And then seeing how nicely he's doing that. So he has to be unattached to do that, otherwise he wouldn't be successful. Because if he gets angry and he starts to fight, Kamsa's going to beat him. And if he just sits there and gets all, you know, laments, then he's going to kill her. So he has to be active. So he can't function. He can't work in ignorance, otherwise. He can't work in passion. He has to work in goodness. You know what I'm saying? So.
As far as I remember, Nanda and Yashoda doesn't even ask for being birth as our, take birth as our child.
Yes, yes. But the point is then that's why they get to bring up Krishna. And Vasudeva and Devaki, then Krishna comes as his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the... Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Vasudeva again began praising Kamsa, according to the saying, by praise the ferocious becomes tame. He says, you know, that's why, as what do you call it? They start off with, you know, something to do with, you know, hey, big boy. You know, they start off with this point. He says, she is deserving your mercy because she is just like your daughter. The sentence can also mean she is petrified like a doll out of fear. He also says, you should not kill her because you are compassionate to the suffering. Dinavatsa. The real meaning of Dina Vatsala, however, is one who accepts even a calf from the most poor person as a tax. Right? So he's using praise that he's such a great person with so many great qualities and everything like that, because the demons also, right? You know, there's that in the Gita when it talks about the demoniac mentality, they're also saying, you know, I've done so many things, I have aristocratic relatives, you know, so many nice things are happening. They like to be known as somebody who's great. So many of these great materialists, by using this praise, even though the praise is totally unworthy, they appreciate it. You know, like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, in this way Vasudeva tried to pacify Kamsa by good instruction as well as by philosophical discrimination. But Kamsa was not to be pacified because his association was demoniac. Because of his demoniac association, he was a demon. Although born in a very high royal family. Right? So even by birth, it doesn't matter. So here we have someone born in a very good situation, then takes up a very demoniac position. Because we see his father, Ugrasena, then after Kamsa is removed from the equation, then Ugrasena is put back. He is the king of Dwarka. Like that. So, you know, you're not going to get much better than that. Right? So very qualified. So very good family. Right? And Devaki is from the same family, and she has Krishna as her son. So by bad association, he becomes like this. At the same time, is someone born in a demoniac family and all that, by good association, they can come up to the point to be qualified in devotional service. So therefore, association is the most important. That's the... A demon never cares for any good instruction. He is like a determined thief. One can give him moral instruction, but it will not be effective. Similarly, those who are demoniac or atheistic by nature can hardly assimilate any good instruction, however authorized it may be. That is the difference between demigods and demons, right? So the demigods, they get out of line. But you bring up proper instruction, what they should do, they understand it and step back and reconsider their position. But for the demoniac, the more they have, then they don't care. It just, they want it this way, that's the way it's going to happen. Right? Because they think by my endeavor it will happen, so this is a way I can endeavor, that will definitely make it happen. They don't think that, no, it's by the mercy of the Lord, therefore I make appropriate endeavor, then by the Lord's mercy it happens. So they don't consider the proper behavior as actually, you know, important, because... Yeah.
So our free will is only the free will to choose the association. After that, trust happens.
Basically. But you can, at any time, choose association. You know, like you have someone in bad association, then he decides to give that up. right? Or someone has good association, they decide to give that up. So, you know, like that. So it's it. Those who can accept good instruction and try to live their lives in that way are called demigods. And those who are unable to take such good instruction are called demons. Right? So it's a mentality. Right? So the form is actually, it may come like that, you maintain that mentality, then you get a form that matches. But one can have technically a demigod form, but take up a demoniac mentality and be classified as a demon. Right? So the species of life is by what you do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas." Right? So not even just regular old demons. Right? "Therefore he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stomp Kamsa. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense." Right? So in other words, he's going to try. In other words, if death is the immediate, you work for getting rid of that. But if that can't be done, then there's no offense to it. It means when it's actually seen, it can't be. That's like why in Ayurveda it mentions, there's two chapters in Charaka that mentions what symptoms are there that the person cannot be saved. So you don't even make the endeavor. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you make the endeavor, it won't work out anyway, so you just waste time and money. But if those symptoms aren't there, you make the endeavor. But if those symptoms are there, you don't make the endeavor, there's no offense. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, "When there's imminent danger, an intelligent person should try to avoid the dangerous position as far as possible. But if in spite of endeavoring by all intelligence, one fails to avoid the dangerous position, there's no fault on his part. One should try his best to execute his duties, but if the attempt fails, he is not at fault." Right? So then afterwards lamenting, "Oh, this, and I'm so this, that." No. You tried, then, you move on. Right? But if you can, you should do something. Right? So in this case, because he saw that imminent death was there, therefore he had to do something to stop that. Right? Because the problem is his eighth son. Right? But if that's going to cause death now, but now if he saves her now, we can worry about the eighth son later. You know, there's plans you can make. Right? So that's the.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.